was very high. And he would show off and he would walk, and this day he didn't exactly do his trick. He slipped. He was a little bit too wild that day, a little bit too careless. He tripped and he fell into the vat, into the barrel, way, way down. And he banged himself and he fell into the chemicals and he had a horrible accident. And he broke a few bones and he got a lot of the chemicals and probably he also swallowed some of it. It's very strong. And they got him out alive, but they had to do a very serious operation. And he really never recovered 100% from that terrible fall. He had to stay in bed for weeks. Even when he got out of bed, he felt very weak. He could not use his arms like before or his fingers. I'm not going to go into all the details of what happened to him. It's not exactly so nice and pleasant. But he got very messed up from that terrible fall. Finally, he wanted to come back to work. Now, it's very hard work in that borsuki, where they do all the leather things, you know, schlepping and heavy things and tools and different kinds of knives and scraping stuff. You have to work very hard. And Kozlik came back. I mean, okay, for sure he couldn't run and jump and do all of his tricks, but he couldn't even work. He could hardly lift. He could hardly cut. He could hardly scrape. Now, Reb Aaron Gins would see, of course, he's the boss. He goes out to look at the workers, if they're doing their jobs. And he sees Kozlik is not able to work. So he says to the two brothers, Carl and Henry, Henrich. He says, Carl and Henry, your brother, Kozlik, he's not able to work. I think he has to leave the factory and he'll just have to do something else or just stay home. He can't work. Now, Reb Aaron Gins only meant well for the boy because it was very hard for him to work. But Carl and Henry got very angry. You want him to go away and not work? And he should not get money? You know, it's your fault this happened. It happened in your borsuki. It happened in your factory. It's your fault. He fell into your big barrel of animal skins and your chemicals. So you have to make sure that he has his job and he gets his money. Don't think he's going to leave. All of a sudden, Reb Aaron Gins is very surprised. What do you mean? It's my fault? Here I give him a job when he's 15 years old and I'm paying him and here he's running and jumping and here he falls in because he's doing his tricks and he's not careful and it's my fault? Kenelech, was it Reb Aaron's fault?
No.
He gave him a good job and he gave him money and he would always tell him don't run and jump and don't do dangerous things. And Kozlik wouldn't listen and he fell in. Reb Aaron says, it's not my fault. It's your fault. It happened in your place and you have to take care of him and don't even think that he should go anywhere else and you have to pay him the money and you have to do the best you can because he's trying his best. Now even though they're concerned for their brother and it is a Rachmanis that he had a terrible accident and he was trying, but look, Reb Aaron needs a good worker. It's a big job. If he doesn't have his work done, he'll have to hire another worker. And he'll have to pay the other worker. Now, is it fair to Reb Aaron Gins? It's a Rachmanis on Kozlik, but look, who told him to go run and jump and fall into a vat because he's careless and he shouldn't have done it in the first place? And then Reb Aaron Gins has to run a business and he has to have workers. Finally, Reb Aaron Gins says one day, look, to let Kozlik go, I feel sorry for him. To have him work here, he's not doing his work. So I am going to agree to let him stay, but I'm going to pay him half the money. Now, Reb Aaron has to hire another worker and pay him a whole salary. And he's just letting Kozlik like stay around to be nice to him. So he expected the brothers to understand. But the brothers got angry again. What? You're paying him half the money? You have to pay him all the money. Or if you want him to go, you have to pay him 1,000 golden pieces. And the brothers said, if you want Kozlik to leave, pay him a lot of money. Pay him 1,000 golden coins. And if you let him stay, then you have to pay him regular. And Reb Aaron says, what do you mean? I have to pay him 1,000 golden coins if he leaves? And I have to pay him regular if he stays? He should be happy to get half of his pay. And the brother starts screaming, half the pay? Half the pay? When it happened in your place and is your fault? And many times, now, Kinalach, this is what happened. This is what happened. Reb Aaron Gins let Kozlik stay, but he paid him half, and the brothers were always angry about it. And many times they would start yelling at Reb Aaron Gins, and Reb Aaron Gins felt it was unfair for them to yell at him, and he would talk back to them. And there was very not good feelings between Henry and Carl and Reb Aaron Gins. And even also Kozlik. Now, to help Kozlik out even more, once in a while, if there was some kind of a simcha going on by Reb Aaron Gins, where he needed extra help in his house, he would bring Kozlik home. And Kozlik would help around his house with easy things, and he would pay Kozlik extra money. He thought, what a nice way to help Kozlik, that he, around the house he should do things that are not so difficult like in the borsiki, like in the factory. And through these jobs, Kozlik will make some extra money. Now, he needed money for himself, and as the brothers said, they had an old mother that lived about 15 miles away from Prague, and they used to go visit her there. And they would take money to her. One time it happened, it was Purim. The night of Purim, and Reb Aaron Gins was going to have a big Sudas Purim, a big Purim meal in his house with a lot of relatives and friends, and all kinds of people were coming over and neighbors. And as we already know, Reb Aaron Gins was a very wealthy man, and he was also a big Baal Tzedakah. And he was also very nice to have a lot of people over and give them delicious food and drinks. And he had the best of everything, the nicest dishes and the nicest food and everything beautiful. So his house was packed with people for Purim, and he had a lot of good old wine to drink. And also Kozlik was there to help with the meal and with the serving and with the cleaning up. Kozlik was the whole time by the meal. And of course, on Purim, there is the mitzvah of Ad Lo Yoda, to get so shikr, to drink so much wine on Purim, that you don't know the difference between Baruch, Mordechai, and Arur Haman, and there's a whole thing what that means. We're not going to go into it, but there's a whole thing of drinking wine or mashke on Purim. And by Reb Aaron, it was very freilich, and people were drinking, and people drank a lot of wine. And as the evening went on, and more wine was drunk, people started to get very tired, and even fall asleep on the table, and fall asleep on the couches. And everyone, one by one, just fell asleep, and Reb Aaron Gins also fell asleep, until everyone in the house was in a deep sleep, except for one person, and that was Kozlik. And Kozlik looked around, and he thinks to himself, this is a good chance for me to make my brothers happy, because they are very angry at Aaron Gins, and they keep telling me that they want to get him back for what he did to me, because they say he's responsible for my accident, and he should never have paid me just half for the work I do. And my brothers are always telling me, someday we're going to get Reb Aaron Ginz. We're going to get him. Oh, I could get him now. Oh, I'll make my brothers very happy what I could do. Now, Kozluk looks around, Kinalach, and he sees all the beautiful silver on the table. Because Reb Aaron Ginz didn't just serve wine in plastic cups. They didn't even have plastic cups in those days. He had beautiful silver bechers, expensive ones, silver trays. And Kozluk took a pillowcase. People had, they had pillows, you know. He took a big pillowcase. He made it to be a bag. And he put 10 beautiful, big, expensive silver bechers into the pillowcase. And he put silver trays. And he put silverware, because silverware is made out of silver, the real silverware, knives and spoons and forks. As much as he could cram into the bag, as much as he could lift. And the Reb Aaron Ginz was sleeping on one, by one of the tables, and out of his pocket was a big, beautiful silver watch. You know, those kind of watches that go on a chain? So Kozluk went over to Reb Aaron Ginz and he stole his watch also. He put it into the bag and he says, hey, I'm going to make my brothers very happy and my mother. So Kozluk says, I'm going to make my brothers very happy because I got back to Aaron Ginz. And my mother, she'll be happy. I'm going to give her a lot of this money. I'll also get some of the money. Henry and Carl, they're going to be proud of their brother. They're going to be proud of me. I better get out of here quick. Where am I going to go? Because they might catch me. Oh, I know where I'm going to go. I'll go to mommy. I'll go to mommy. I'll go to my mother's house. Over there, I'm going to hide with all this stuff. And Kinalach, he takes the big bag and he starts schlepping through the streets during the night. And as I told you, he was very weak and very sick all the time from his accident and all the chemicals he swallowed. And he's schlepping this big heavy bag and he's going at night. He didn't want anybody to see him. And he's going and he's walking now down the roads out of Prague, miles and miles to his mother, way out in the country. And by the time he got there, he was very weak and very sick. And he put the bag down in his mother's house and he went straight into bed. Over there, he goes into bed. And he lays in bed and he gets worse and worse until he is dying. And his mother saw that her son is very, very sick. Now, we're not going to go more into this part of the story. We're going to go now back to Reb Aaron Ginz's house. In the morning, Reb Aaron Ginz wakes up. And the people wake up, and of course, after they slept off the wine, now they feel better. Reb Aaron Ginz wakes up, all of a sudden, he says, where are the beautiful silver bechers? My silver cups, and all the beautiful silver trays, and where's the silverware? And he looks down, where's my watch? All of a sudden, he remembers, Kozluk. Where is Kozluk? Kozluk. That Kozluk, he stole my things. Kozluk stole the things. Probably his two brothers, Carl and Henry, they probably talked into his head that he should do something bad against me. They probably knew he was going to be here tonight, and they probably told him, hey, get back this Aaron Ginz for giving you only half of the pay that you deserve. and it's his fault that you got hurt in the first place because you fell in his borsiki, in his place where they work on the leather. And they probably talked all this stuff into his head. Those two brothers, they probably had him do it, and now they're probably having a big, you know, simcha by themselves. They're probably dancing and singing, and they're probably drinking and getting shikr that they have all my stuff. And he sends somebody to call Carl and Henry to his house to speak to them. And Carl and Henry Kozlovsky come to Reb Aaron Ginz's house, and he starts screaming, "Where is your brother Kozelik? And where's all my stuff?" And they say, "What are you talking about? What are you calling us here? What are you talking about, our brother Kozelik, and all this stuff? What are you saying? Don't you know that your brother was here last night? It was Purim night, and we had a big happy thing in the house, and a big meal, and all kinds of fun things, and Kozelik was here helping. And don't you know that this morning all of my things and silver is gone? Probably he came to you. Probably you told him to do it. So what are you talking about? What are you accusing us of? We don't know anything about this." And Reb Aaron Ginz had also sent somebody to the chief of police to tell him what happened. He also sent the chief of police to tell the chief of police what had happened, that there was a big gneiva, a big robbery in his house. And the police also came to the house. And Reb Aaron Ginz says, "These are the two brothers of the Kozelik who stole all of my stuff." And the brothers say, "We don't know what's happening. We don't know anything. We didn't do it. And we don't know where our brother Kozelik is. And Aaron Ginz is accusing us of something we didn't do." And the police said, "We have to now search where you live. Come and show us where you live." And now they go to where the Kozlovsky brothers, Carl and Henry, live. And they search in the house. They don't find anything. And the brothers say, "You see, there's nothing here. Aaron Ginz is making the whole thing up because he's just making trouble for us. And we didn't do anything." And the police say to Reb Aaron Ginz, "We're sorry, we can't prove anything. We didn't find anything." And the two brothers were very angry. And when the police left, they looked at each other and they said, "Now we're really going to get Reb Aaron Ginz for what he's doing to us. We're going to get him back in the worst way. What are we going to do? We're not exactly sure, but we're going to get Reb Aaron Ginz back and get him in big, big trouble." Now, the next part of the story, it's Friday night. Friday night, of course, Reb Aaron Ginz is home for Shabbos. And the two Kozlovsky brothers decide, "Let's go visit our mother. We have not seen our mother for a while. Let's go out into the country, about 15 miles away from Prague, and visit our old mother." They go now to the old mother's house. And they come in, and right away they see the old mother, and she's crying. And in the bed, right next to the old mother, they see Kozelik. "Mother, what's going on here? Kozelik is here? Why are you crying? Why is Kozelik in bed? It's not time to go to sleep yet." And the old mother says, "Your brother Kozelik came a few days ago. He's very sick. He's so sick. He came in the middle of the night carrying a big bag, and he got so tired, and he's so weak. He got so sick. He went to bed, and he hasn't gotten out of bed. He's getting so sick. I'm so worried about my little Kozlikle." Now, really, did we ever hear his name? Do we know his name?
No.
Okay, now we're going to find out his name, because probably she didn't call him Kozlikle. That's only what the people called him in the factory, because they didn't know his name. You want to know his name?
Yeah.
His name was John, or Johann. I mean, the way they pronounced it was Johann, but the way we would say it was John. John. Now, the old mother's name is Jadwiga. Yadviga is your babysitter's name? Okay. John, the son of Yadviga. Now, Carl and Henry, they had a last name, Kozlovsky. John didn't have the name Kozlovsky. They called him Kozlik because they figured, you know, he's a brother, so they call him Kozlik. Actually, he had a different father. But he was written down when he was born, not by the name of the father. It wasn't the Kozlovsky father. It was a different father. And they named him only after the mother. So they called him John, the son of Yadviga. So she probably didn't call him Kozlikal. She called him John. John is in bed. John is sick. John is weak. I'm so worried about John. And the two brothers said, what did you say that he brought in the middle of the night that was so difficult for him to carry that made him so sick? That big bag over there, a heavy bag. Oh, let's go and see what's in that bag. And the two Kozlovsky brothers stick their noses in that bag. Oh, look what we have here. Oh, silver cups and silver trays. And look at this beautiful silver watch. Oh, our brother Kozlikal, or John, whatever they call him. Oh, he's so smart. He did rob Arangins. He, isn't that good? Kozlikal, you did good. You got back Arangins. You got him good. You stole all the stuff. Good going. But the thing is, Kozlik, or John, really could not hear at that point because he was so sick. He was on his way out, which means he was dying. And that night, late in the night, John, the son of Yadviga, or Kozlikal as we call him, passed away. And the two brothers cried for a little while, and they said, we must bury our brother Kozlik. And we're going to keep this whole thing a secret. Because not only our brother Kozlik got back Arangins, but maybe we can get back Arangins ourselves. And maybe we can make a good plan, and maybe we can even use this whole thing that's happening now as a part of our plan, because nobody knows that our brother Kozlik even came here. Because our mother said he came in the middle of the night. He probably came right after that Purim meal in Arangins' house. And they were all asleep, and nobody knows that he's here. And he stole all this stuff. And now he's dead. Oh, it's too bad, but let's see what we can make out of this whole thing. A plan to use against Arangins. Okay, the brothers waited till Sunday morning. And now they go to the church. And they go now to the Galach. In back of the church was a big graveyard. They go to the Galach. They waited till all the people went home from the church to come in the morning. And now only the Galach was alone in the big church. And they say to the Galach, Galach, we have very sad news in our family. Our poor brother passed away, and we want to bury him today. Now, we don't have any money. We're very poor. Our brother lived with our old mother, and she lives in a little broken down house, and she's very poor. And we just don't have money to make a regular kind of a funeral to bury our brother. So what we'd like to do is just ask permission from you, Galach, if we ourselves could just go into the back of the church, into the graveyard, and we would just dig a grave ourselves, and we would bury our brother. We're not going to make any big deal. We're not inviting a whole bunch of people. Just us to bury our brother. And the Galach looks at them. Well, I can't let you do it for free, you know. I mean, it's got to cost you something. Isn't there anything you might have? And the two brothers say, well, the only thing we have, which we brought, is we have something that belonged to our old father who passed away, because we told you our old mother lives by herself, and he left only one thing. He didn't leave money, but he left us this, and they showed the galach, the silver watch. Now, is this the silver watch of their old father, or is this the silver watch of Aaron Gins? Well, this is the silver watch of Reb Aaron Gins. It was a beautiful silver watch, and in fact, it had a little aleph and a little gimel carved out onto it. Now, the brothers couldn't necessarily read Lashna Kodesh, but there was a little sign that Aaron Gins had on his watch that it belonged to him, and it was a part of the design, but it was there. And the brothers didn't notice it, and the Galach didn't notice it. It just looked like a nice watch. And the Galach looks at the watch. Oh, isn't that a lovely silver watch? And the brothers say, well, we could give you this if you would let us bury our brother. And the Galach put out his hand, and he took the watch, and he says, well, okay, I'll accept this watch as a small token, as a small payment for you to go and bury your brother. Now, why don't you go and do it? But first, I have to just write his name down in the book. The rule of the church is whoever gets buried in our graveyard, we must write his name down in the book. Can you please tell me his name? His name is John. The Galach says, well, what's his mother's name? Yadviga. Okay, the Galach writes down, John, the son of Yadviga. Okay, you can go. Now, there's an old grave digger, and he will help you. So the old grave digger and the two brothers, and of course over there was Kozlik laying in the box. They took him out in the back of the church. They found a place, they dug a hole, and they buried Kozlik in the back of the church. And nobody knew about it except the Galach and the gravedigger and the two brothers and the old mother. And on top of the grave, they put a certain thing, what we don't like to talk about, which is the sign of their, you know, what they believe in. They put that on top of the grave. We wouldn't call it a matseva. A matseva by Yidden is a special stone, you know, a special thing with special things on it. And they just had, you know, one of their signs, what is a thing of Tuma, which we don't want to discuss. Anyway, they put that on top of the grave. Now, Kinalach, the brothers came home from the little funeral for Kozlik, and they went over to that bag that was full of the silver cups and the silver trays, and they went and they sold it to somebody in their village who they knew had money and would like to buy stuff like that. And they sold everything and they got money, and they gave their mother the money. They gave all the money for their mother to their mother, and now they went back to Prague. And they came to work late. It was now, by this time, Monday morning, and they came late. And they come into the factory, and Reb Aaron Gins is there, and he sees the two brothers. Why are you coming today so late? Why aren't you here to work on time? And where is your brother? He also didn't come to work. Now, our brother, first of all, we don't know where our brother is. And second of all, we came late. We just were very tired this morning. And Reb Aaron Gins said, oh no, you were probably making a big party celebrating that all of you stole my money. We didn't steal anything. We didn't steal all that stuff. Now stop it already. And the brother just got angry again. And they said, let's get Aaron Gins. Let's get him. Okay. This is what they did. This is their plan. Are you ready? They waited a day or two. In the middle of the night, they went back to the graveyard and back at the church in the middle of the night when the Galach was sleeping in his pajamas, so he didn't know what was going on. And the old gravedigger was sleeping in his pajamas. He didn't know what was going on. They went into the graveyard and back at the church, and they dug up the grave of Kozlik. They dug up the body of Kozlik. They took him out. When they took Kozlik out of the grave and back of the church, they took a knife and they cut his throat. And this is all part of a plan. It's very yucky, but you know, you have to understand what's going on over here. They took his clothes and they wrapped it up and they put it into a bag. And of course, the clothes were all bloody because when they cut the throat, we all understand what happens. And they wrapped him up, they put him into a white bag,